Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. On Tuesday evening, the BMO Harris Pavilion on the Summerfest grounds will be home to the Celtic punk stylings of the Dropkick Murphys. For the past couple of decades, the Boston-based band has gained a worldwide following, particularly for their live shows, which draw a large and enthusiastic crowd. The band will stop here on their Boston to Berkeley tour and will feature tunes from their new album, 11 Stories of Pain and Glory.
The Dropkicks are managed by one of Milwaukee's own, Jeff Castellez. Castellez was the president of Elektra Records from 2012 to 2015, but he gave it up to return to managing bands, specifically the Dropkick Murphys. We reached him on the road to New Orleans to find out why.
When I took over Elektra Records, my management company actually operated out of the Elektra offices. So I was doing both my management operation and running the label at the same time.
And so what made you decide to give up running the label?
Well, it was just too much work. It was just, you know, literally 15 plus hour days every day and getting pulled in two distinctly different directions every day. And it was fun for a while. And then, you know, kind of like shoveling the driveway in the third snowfall of the year, it loses its novelty very quickly. And so I really had to sit down with my wife and have a real deal conversation and get her feedback and really do my own soul searching. And I realized that ultimately I'm a guy that likes to be on the side of the artist and the audience, and running a record company, you know, you're the man, you know, then there's no other way to put it. You're the person who's on the other side of the table from the artist when you run a label. And I just had to go where my heart really is. And frankly, where my real interest is, which is representing artists in a direct sense and connecting them with their audiences, which is what a manager really does.
Well, the Dropkicks are really good at connecting with their audiences. I mean, it's one of the things that makes their live show so spectacular. And it also makes their albums really alive. Even when we're talking about quieter tunes, there's such an intimate connection with them.
I've never seen a band think about and talk about their fans as much as Dropkick Murphys. They are not concerned with lots of other things that a lot of other bands are concerned with. You know, radio play and other things that are sort of distractions. They're concerned with what are our fans going to feel when they hear this album? How is it going to be when we play these songs live for our fans around the world? And it really does come through on the albums. And as you said, it certainly comes through the show.
One of the other things I think is such an interesting connection between, say, a Milwaukee audience and the Dropkick Murphys is that Boston was such a blue-collar town for so long, and so was Milwaukee. And there's, yeah, I think, simpatico, you know, there's something where they speak to each other in a really interesting way.
I think that, speaking about it personally, like when I met the guys in the Dropkicks, they actually make fun of me for this. This is actually a funny thing. Yeah, I always related that I'm from Milwaukee, you know, because you get a bad rap with Boston people for living in Los Angeles, which is where I live, you know, and so I would always try and point them to the idea that I'm from Milwaukee and we have a very similar background. You know, I'm from a working class family. My dad owned a corner bar, the whole bit. And they are very similar cities. I mean, these are cities that are made up of small pocket neighborhoods, just like Milwaukee. You know, I'm 45. So when I was growing up, you know, dad would go to work, you know, and earn a paycheck, probably driving a truck or working in a factory or whatever. And Boston is also a very Catholic city, which is another similarity between Milwaukee and that city. There's another thing as well, which is that Boston, both through sports and through just, you know, how people walk down the street in the city, you know, they're not New York. You know, there's a constant awareness that you're in Boston and you're proud as hell to be from Boston, because Boston is not that place to the south, which is just a little bit too crazy for everybody. You know, in Milwaukee, we have Chicago. And people have a lot of pride being from Milwaukee, and that it's perhaps you have better relationships with people, you know people better, it's not as much of a crazy scene. And let's face it, there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder that, you know, you're the smaller city in your region and you have to prove yourself. It keeps people on their toes and it keeps people fighting and scrapping and, you know, fighting to get ahead and to make sure that they're in the game, so to speak, and that people are paying attention. And not that Boston in 2017 needs that much help. I mean, their fortunes of the sports teams have turned around
quite a lot.
And it's obviously has so much great stuff going on that it's probably not the same as it used to be. Just like Milwaukee has absolutely developed and redeveloped over the past 20 years. I was just there a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't believe all the progress in the city.
Even with all the change, though, this new album by the Dropkick Murphys is actually talking about a change that's not welcome, and that is dealing with opioid addiction. And I think it's wonderful that they have put an entire album together kind of talking about what a problem it is and what people can do to help.
Yeah, this is a band that has had its own foundation, the Clotta Fund, for at least a decade. They decided that in response to all of the requests that they were getting to participate in charity functions, to donate items, you know, all to play shows, all the things that every band on earth gets asked to do, they decided to start their own organization, raise money for it, and then give out grants from their own central hub. And the foundation was focused on a few things for the first period. It was veterans' causes, things that touched kids, after school, youth sports activities, and then of course, alcohol and drug education, rehab, and concerns both for teens and adults. And over the past few years, the opioid situation in New England and specifically in the Boston metro area has gotten so dire. I mean, many press reports will say that the Boston area is the epicenter of the national opioid epidemic. And some of those press reports will say that Quincy, Massachusetts, which is a town in Boston, is the epicenter of the epicenter. And Quincy is where the band first started. It's where they became a band. It's where they rehearsed. And, you know, Ken, who's the bass player and leader of the band, he will tell this story of he was driving in his car and his music on his phone was on shuffle. And this topic of people dying from overdoses of opioids, whether it's from pills or from heroin, was heavy on his mind. He'd gone to over a dozen wakes in a short period of time. And this Rodgers and Hammerstein song covered by Jerry and the Pacemakers came on his phone on just random shuffle. The song was You'll Never Walk Alone. And it just, you know, struck him that if we cover this song, this could be the start of our new album. I think we'd all been talking about when were they going to start writing? What was the next album going to be like? When were we going to put it out? And this song just hit him right between the eyes, and it became the jumping off point for this entire album. And even if you've never heard the song, just the title, You'll Never Walk Alone, says it all. It's the promise that when people decide to confront their addiction issues, that they are not going to be put out in the cold and be disconnected from their friends, their family, their community. In fact, the spirit is that if you take responsibility and get some education and stop doing this behavior and get yourself cleaned up, in fact, everybody's going to be standing there to help you and to be with you to make sure that you're not feeling as lonely as perhaps your brain might tell you you're going to be.
When you walk through a storm, through the rain, though your dreams.
this tour, they're going from Boston all the way to the West Coast, right?
Yeah, and that's why they decided to name it the Boston to Berkeley Tour, because it's really a cool moment. I think that this tour is going to be, it already feels like a legendary tour. You have Rancid and Dropkick Murphys touring together for the first time in a long, long time. Last time they toured together, they were the co-headliners of the Warped Tour, which is a different thing because that's the Warped Tour. This is a co-headline tour with two bands bringing out a couple of other bands as the openers, right? And so it doesn't feel like a Lollapalooza or something. It's more personal. The story behind these bands is that the Dropkick Murphys, for their first four albums, were on Rancid's record label, Hellcat. And Lars from Rancid produced a couple albums by the band. When James Lynch, one of the guitar players in the Dropkicks, broke his arm at some point many years ago, Lars Fredrickson, the guitar player from Rancid, came out on tour and played in Dropkick Murphys so that they wouldn't have to cancel a tour. So these bands are literally and actually family, and you don't necessarily see this kind of a thing in rock music a lot, where somebody from a prominent band starts a label and signs another band, and his bandmate produces them, and they kind of bring them up and help them out. And then that younger band, you know, ends up doing really, really well. And then they can get together and do something like this. It's much more common in hip hop and pop to have people featuring on other people's songs. You see Justin Bieber is on Usher's label. You know, that's an example of something that happens in the pop world. So this tour has a real purpose behind it and a real focus. And the super cool thing about this tour is at the end of each night, the two bands get on stage together and perform a whole set of encores of classic punk songs and a bunch of other songs that they really love. And it's really pretty damn amazing. And it's definitely something you can't download on your phone. Like, it's the kind of thing like you have to be there to see it and experience it.
Right. And that's, of course, we circle right back around to the front. I mean, that's what these guys do. I mean, yes, the albums
Correct.
Are great, but man, you want to hear them in concert if you can.
Yes, the energy of these crowds, the history of this kind of music, the significance of this kind of music. I don't know about you, but what really got me into music in the first place when I was a kid, really, before I was even a teenager, was really connecting with the purpose. I didn't know it at the time, but connecting with the purpose behind what people were doing lyrically. And when you go and see these bands live, you really connect with the lyrics and you feel the energy of the crowd. If you're into being in the pit, that's great. But even if you're not, you feel the energy when these bands are on stage. And it's more than just buying a ticket and watching somebody dance around on stage. This is some real deal stuff. To me, this is more like seeing a vicious hockey game than just going and seeing your average pop singer.
I was going to say, with a little less blood, maybe.
Very well, yeah. There's no blood. Although there's a new song on the Dropkick. There's a song on the Dropkick's latest album called Blood, which is another great song that they wrote really about their relationship with their fans and how much they put into what they're doing for the fans. A lot of reflection on this album and a lot of looking forward and a little bit of looking back, which is a really, which is what makes this album so emotional for me as a fan. I mean, I get to manage the band and be a fan at the same time. For me, it's a real honor to work with people that they really put their money where their mouth is. They show up in the world, they show up in society, anywhere in the world, you know, not just showing up for the photo op and leaving, which does happen in this world.
Well, we are so looking forward to having both bands here. And, of course, the BMO Harris stage is a great place for both of them to be. And we're looking forward to having, I know you were just back, but it'll be great to have you back in town as well.
Likewise, I'm really looking forward to it, and thanks for having me on.
Milwaukee native Jeff Castellas manages the Dropkick Murphys, who bring their Boston to Berkeley tour Tuesday evening to the BMO Harris Pavilion. They'll share the stage with Rancid, and there's more information at WUWM.com.